Good morning, St. Paul. Welcome to our worship service. We are so glad that you're joining us this morning. You are with me in the Spy House this morning, my absolute favorite place on the St. Paul campus. I wanted to give you a few updates on our Sunday morning worship services. Our 8:30 service will be returning March 21st, and it'll be in the sanctuary. We currently have two services going on at 11 a.m. We have our traditional worship service that you can find in the sanctuary, and we also have our contemporary worship service, which will be in the fellowship hall at 11 a.m. The contemporary service is not being live streamed, but the traditional service is. You can find that at live.spumccolumbus.com. Speaking of March 21st, this is Confirmation Sunday. We will have a service at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary. All are welcome to join, although it might be a little tight. If you're uncomfortable with this, be sure to join us at 8:30 in the sanctuary for our traditional service or in the contemporary worship service at 11 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Wednesday night picnics on the quad is back, and we are so excited about that. For the menu, we have baked ham, collard greens, not my favorite, yams, mac and cheese, that's my favorite, cornbread, and cherry pie. We hope that you will join us this Wednesday at 6:30 on the quad, or if you want, you can also get yours to go in the roundabout circular area of the church and you can pick it up. Next Wednesday, March 24th, is our Easter egg hunt. It'll be located at the home of Dr. and Mrs. Rob Harris at 2200 Oak Avenue. It'll begin at 5:30. Please contact Grace Bailey for directions or any information that you might need for that event. Holy Week is right around the corner, and we will be doing our traditional lunches and devotions during that time. During that week, those lunches will start at 11 a.m. in the fellowship hall. We will be having a Maundy Thursday service. More information and details will be coming soon. If you're interested in getting help signing up for the COVID-19 vaccine, please call the church office. We have volunteers ready to help you with that. John Few and Tommy Bridges will soon begin their new podcast on Brennan Manning's book, you're going to love this title, The Ragamuffin Gospel. All podcasts are available on our website under the Media tab on the main menu. Speaking of podcasts/studies, find Emily Trotter's study through the book of Titus on our YouTube page or our website or Emily's personal Instagram account. Easter lilies are for sale. These are given in honor or memory of a loved one or a friend. They will be placed in the sanctuary and in the fellowship hall on Easter Sunday on April 4th. St. Paul will be donating furniture that is no longer needed. If interested, please come at noon on Wednesday, March 17th to the Youth Building. We ask for monetary donations for anything you take home. Now, as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, I invite you to do two things. One, take a good look around, see if you can locate any Easter egg that's maybe around me, and join me in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, St. Paul family. Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elijah asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over."
I have been enjoying the spring weather so much. It's so nice to be able to wear sunglasses and to sit in the sun and see the blue skies. I just love all of the light. It makes me happy. And you know, Jesus is the light of the world. He says that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And sure, sometimes, you know, just like the sun here, it's not always going to shine. Sometimes it's going to be a rainy day or a stormy day. And sometimes in life, we go through storms. But luckily, Jesus is always our light, and we will always have him shining for us when we feel like we're in the dark.
Mason, what are you giving up for Lent, and what are you filling yourself?
I'm giving up milkshakes for Lent, and I'm filling myself with daily devotionals.
Mason, when are you doing your daily devotional?
I do my daily devotional every day before breakfast.
What have you learned about doing the daily devotional?
I've learned that it keeps me close to God because it shows me what I should be doing and what I should not be doing.
Good. Addie, what are you emptying yourself with, and what are you filling yourself with this year for Lent?
Well, I am emptying myself with electronics, and I am filling myself with reading the devotional every day.
Addie, how's it going with giving up electronics?
It's hard, but I wanted to do it because, well, Jesus gave his whole life up for us.
Forevermore, shall good morning, and thank you for joining us for this early service for us. It's an online service. We show this at 9 a.m., then we also show it later on at 1 p.m. After lunch. So whichever time that you're joining us, I am delighted that you're engaging with us here at St. Paul through our online ministries. I just want to make you aware of a couple of announcements. I know you might already know this, might have been said earlier in the service. I just want to remind everyone in our community that March the 21st, we're going to open back up the early service. Now, it's going to be here in the sanctuary. Pre-COVID, we were in the chapel for a while, and at some point, I would imagine we go back to the chapel. But in the meantime, we'll be in the sanctuary. It's 8:30 on a Sunday morning. So if you're an early service worshiper and you've been waiting for this service to come back online in a live format, then not this Sunday, but next Sunday, do want to invite you to live worship for our 8:30 service. At the same time, on that same Sunday, March the 21st, at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary is our Confirmation Sunday. Now, Confirmation is a big day. It's a high and holy day inside the life of our congregation. It also means that our church is, normally there's a number of attenders. So if you are able to worship at an early time, that would be good, and actually would probably be better. It'd free up some space inside of our sanctuary. Just trying to be mindful of social distancing still. And so we might need some of that time and some of that space for that 11 o'clock confirmation. So if you're an early worship person, definitely want you to come. If it really doesn't matter what service is good for you and you plan to worship in a live format, then obviously do want to invite you to the early service so that I'd give just a little bit of room just for the 11 o'clock service for our confirmands, for their families, for their mentors, and then any invited guests that might be with them. And then another announcement is really a word of thanks and also a reminder. And we have some dear people inside of our congregation, Beth Bergen, Jeannie Haney. They have give their time to help those that are having some difficulty navigating, trying to receive their vaccines. And they want to be vaccinated. They meet the criteria that's listed by the state. But if you're one of those and it's really been difficult for you, or you don't know where to go or what to do, if you would contact our church office, you can ask for Kathy, and Kathy will be glad to put someone in touch with you that can maybe help you to find a right time and a good place for you. But very grateful for those two persons, and there are other people at St. Paul that are just servants behind the scenes. They do things that just because it's in their heart and they want to make a difference. And there are hundreds of people inside of this congregation who gladly do that season in and season out. But if you're still trying to find navigation and looking through to find a vaccine and it's been a bit of a struggle, please contact the church office. We would like to help in any way that we can. All right, those are the announcements. There might be some more. You can always check out our website or go to our links to see what's going on inside of the life of our congregation. And at some point, we hope to see you in a live event soon, whether that be in worship or whether it be in small group study or just an event from the church. So you might want to check those out and see if that would be useful for you in helping your faith grow. If you'll take a moment, bow your heads with me and let us pray. Oh God, as we are in this place of worship, wherever we may be today, what we pray, God, is that our hearts and minds will be open. Even though we're separated through geography, through space, we're also linked together, and because we share in the same desire to worship, and at the same time we worship you in spirit and in truth. And in doing that, oh God, you draw us together regardless of where we may be. And for that, we are grateful. Again, we pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in a way that you would take everything that has happened thus far in this service and then what's left remaining, and to use it not just for your glory so that your name is glorified, but at the same time that our nature becomes more like the nature of Jesus Christ. That's our hope and that's our prayer. And we pray this now in your name. Amen. Now, I have a theory, and I have a bunch of theories when it comes to the church, but one theory that I've held to for a number of years is that you can become as close as you want to God. and that if there's ever a deficiency or if there's this lack of closeness or some level of disconnection, that the deficiency is not a God problem. Now, the reason why I believe this is really through what we call the different theories of atonement. There are a number of different theories of atonement throughout the history of the church, and all that is a theory that wants to help teach and to guide and to help people understand who Jesus Christ is, what he did, and what God did through him in his life and his death and resurrection. And they all hold to this, even though they take a different angle to try to explain it. What they all hold is core or central is that God has removed any and all barriers so that people can become as close as they want to him. Again, every theory of the atonement is agrees with this. This is part of their theory, part of what it seeks to teach and to help people understand. It's the same thing that Roman and Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans, right at the very end of that chapter, Paul wrote, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what Paul wrote about to this church in Rome is something similar to my theory, which is that God, because God has removed all the barriers, people can become as close as they want to God. And so if there's ever a disconnect in this degree of closeness, it's not so much a God problem as it is a me problem. Now, in our text this morning, one of the main persons in the text is a prophet by the name of Elisha. Now, Elisha had a mentor named Elijah. If you've been following with us over these last couple of sermons, you'll know that a couple of weeks ago, the main prophet in that particular sermon was Elijah. Well, this is his protege, Elisha. Elijah was was basically the measure by which all prophets are judged, and he when his time was up, he gave his mantle or he left the job to Elisha. Well, here in 2 Kings, we're working with Elisha, and Elisha is confronted by this widow. What the text tells us is that the widow had at least two sons, and for whatever the reasons, we don't know. But the text says that she was in a fair amount of debt. She was over her head in debt. And in the ancient world, or actually in any society, debt can be a killer. But in the ancient world, debt could be devastating. It was very common for people when they found themselves in this level of debt that they would either sell themselves or they would sell either their children or family member of someone into some level of debt servitude or something along those lines. In the Old Testament, this was permitted, but it was also very regulated. In the Old Testament, they assigned a certain time as in term to this. At the same time, they had all these different laws about what the treatment of the servant, of what could happen or what couldn't happen. And in this case, what we know about the scripture lesson is that the text tells us is that this widow is at a certain level of debt that the only thing that she has left to do is to sell her two sons into some way that they could pay off the debt. Now, in the Old Testament, we also know that the term to this was up to 6 years. So someone could be sold into this level of servitude to where either the debt was reduced or paid for, or that they could serve at least for 6 years. But one of the major laws in the Old Testament is that the seventh year, it didn't matter if the debt was completely paid for or not, any servant had to be released. So there was some level of safety nets for people. But we know that this widow, she's at a place in her life where she's pretty much at her wit's end. And so the only option that is available for her would be to sell her two sons into debt. And so she goes to the prophet and she asks the prophet for some level of help. Now, there are some scholars who believe that maybe this was a relative of the prophet. Maybe the husband that died was somehow related to Elisha. We don't really know. All we do know for sure is that she was in debt. She's at her wit's end and she's about to sell her two children in some level of servitude so that they could pay off the debt. Whatever it was, Elisha acted. And what Elisha told the widow is that she needed to go home and she needed to gather all her vessels, all these different containers, go home, shut the door, close the curtains, and then to take what little bit of oil she had left up in the cupboards and just pour it into the vessels. And miraculously, what we know about the story is that that little bit of oil continued to flow until all the vessels were full, and then she was able to sell those vessels to satisfy the debt. Now again, we don't know how many vessels or how many containers that were used. We just know that she did what the prophet asked her to do. But I have a question. Why didn't she bring more? If she knew that the prophet, if that God was going to work, she at some point, what the text tells us is that the oil stopped flowing when the vessel was full. And so one of the questions that I ask of the text is, why not bring even more vessels? If there's a movement of God that's working, then why would we limit it by just the vessel or the container that we bring? Surely any extra vessels, they would have been filled. The oil stopped flowing due to the number of vessels. Now, if you go back to my theory and you think back with me, if we can become as close to God as we want, then to use language from the scripture lesson, do we limit ourselves, that closeness, by the vessels that we bring? Last week, I get the opportunity to teach Sunday school, and I was teaching Sunday school in one of our adult classes, and we were looking at a portion of scripture from Ephesians chapter 5, and that particular text is dealing with how we grow in our faith, what it would be like for someone to walk, how they should walk in following God, and the central component in the text is desire. Do you desire to grow? Because if you can get as close as you want to God, and for whatever reason we might not be, and again, that's not a God problem as much as that is a me problem, then I have to ask myself, what really is my desire? How much do I want? How close do I want to become? Because the things that we do not desire most, they're also going to be the things that we devote time and energy to. Actually, in that Ephesians passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul writing to that church said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." And then he says this last little phrase, "making the best use of the time." The idea is that you have to devote time and energy. And what we know about our own nature is that the things that we desire most, they're going to be the things that we devote time and energy to. So maybe the question before the house is, how much or what's our desire? How close do we want to become in reference to God? Often, now this might be you, but I'll just tell you what I've observed sometimes in people. Often, we do just enough. We bring just enough containers, not any more or not any less, but just enough that is needed. But I often want to ask myself, what are we leaving on the table? What would it look like if we brought more? in the book of James. James is a pastor to a church in Jerusalem in the first century. And in James chapter 4, he is writing to his congregation because inside of their relationships, they're fighting amongst themselves. There's all this quarrelsome that's going on between basically the people of God. And he finally gets to a point to where he told them, he said, you have not, that is the type of relationship, because you ask not. Well, to use different language, what he's asking his congregation is, maybe you're not in the relationship or your relationship is not what you want it to be because you really don't desire it to be so. The real issue for so many of us is, what do we really desire? Because if we desire something more, then we will devote that time and that energy to it. We will bring more vessels to the table. Years ago in a different city, serving in a different church, there was a couple that came to me and they were talking about some things in their life, and we were working on a plan on, you know, how we might sort of plot through all this. And some of that was they wanted to grow in their faith. They knew if they were going to grow in their faith that with God, that at the same time they would grow together inside of their relationship. And so as we began to plot this stuff out, one of the persons in the relationship said, "Well, whoa, hang on a second." He said, I don't want that much Jesus. When the person said that, I at first I thought, "Oh, okay." Because I'm not sure that person really understood what they were really admitting. Now, for all of us, it really comes down to our desire. The things that we desire most, we'll give time and energy to. Because there are times in our life where we do have hardships. There are times in our life where maybe there's a struggle. There's times in our life where something might happen. And what it does is it becomes then an opportunity to where things are stripped away, or maybe things are aligned, or maybe there's greater clarity, maybe a reprioritization of things. And often when that happens, one of the things that we do is we make this big step into faith, and we want our faith to grow and want that to be something that is leveraged by God for maybe some level of change. And so we jump in with this big step. But if that's only it, meaning if it's only just one step, then unfortunately we often don't receive the results that we think it's going to come or that it's going to bring. Because often what we want, really our desire, is that we just want the pain or the hardship or whatever it may be to go away. But what we know about our faith and what we know about faith maturation, growing in our faith, what we know about transformation, what we know about salvation, sanctification, what we know about our growing closer and closer to God, is that, yes, it does need to have that first big step. And I'm grateful for that. But that first step at some point needs to lead to a second step. And then that second step at some point needs to lead to a third step. And then so on and so on. If not, often what happens is that we revert back to what it was before the hardship existed. We bring one container and we think that's enough. Not sure about the second container or the third container or the fourth or the fifth or on down the line. In the text, the oil stopped flowing because she didn't bring any more containers. And so you have to wonder, what was left on the table? Surely they would be filled as well. Now I have to tell you, I'm not a stranger to this. This is something that's in different parts of my life. This has been something that where, you know, just one container, I thought that's all that I was needed, and I was comfortable with that. And so I'm leaving a number of things on the table. One of the first times that really was aware of this was in actually preparation to becoming a minister. I knew in my college days, late college days, felt led, called into ministry, and really resisted this for a number of issues, but one probably principal issue is I grew up in a period of time and where the televangelists, people like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker, things like that. And so those, I mean, it's not that I knew a ton of ministers growing up, but obviously I saw these on TV. And then obviously the past and the tragedies and difficulties that they had sort of tainted my view of other clergy. And even though I felt God leading me into pastoral ministry, at one point I thought, well, Lord, I hear you on this, and it's something I want to sort of lean into, but at the same time, I'm not sure, I don't want to be seen in the same light. I don't want to be, in the same group as these. And so what I did is I would bring one container to the table that said, okay, God, I know you're leading me into this pastoral ministry, but I'm going to hold all this other stuff back because, if push comes to shove and if things become difficult, then I'll have all these secondary plans or these outs that are available for me. Just one container, that's all I need. Just give me oil for one container. I got all these over there, but I don't need oil for those. And then on top of it, so when I was studying for seminary, the thought was in my mind is like, Methodist clergy, they itinerate, which means that when our bishop tells us to go, we go. And what if that means I'm living in all these different cities, or what if I'm living in these remote places that I don't want to live in? And so in the back of my mind, I, gave one container to that, but there were these other containers over here that said, well, why don't I take a bunch of church history courses? So I know you're calling me into pastoral ministry, but I can take all these church history courses so that maybe what it can be is that I can be a church historian, maybe a professor. And I thought, there was a season in my life where that was sort of operating that way. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll be kind of a pastoral counselor. They have a little bit more control over where they go and what they do. And so there are all these different things that I'm just wanting to hold back and willing to bring one container, wanted that, but definitely wasn't about to throw myself fully into it. I mean, what if I had to move in different cities all the time? Crazy it may be, I think my son at one point in his life, in the span of 5 years, he was in 4 elementary schools. Some of that's because we had to move. Conference asked us to move to different places and to take different appointments. But I have to tell you something, I learned something, is that when I look back on my life, to my surprise, the greatest fulfillments in my life were not when I just gave one container, where I'm trying to manage it and maybe be control what's going on or what's not going to go on. The greatest surprise and fulfillment in my life is when I just brought container after container after container after container. Interesting as it may be, the more that I did that, the more I wanted to do that. The more that I received in fulfillment, the more that I received in joy, the more that I received in less worry or anxiety, and just the freedom of being in the presence of God, the more I brought containers to that, the more I wanted it. And every last one of them has been filled. For the widow, there were enough vessels to satisfy the debt. And for that, we give thanks to God. But you have to wonder what was left on the table. If the oil from God was flowing, and oil actually is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, if it was flowing and it was only limited, meaning that it stopped flowing, by the vessels, then why not bring more? If we can grow and be as close as we want to God, meaning that God has removed all the barriers, that is the result of the person of Jesus Christ. And if ever there's not that sense of closeness, it's not a God problem. It's a me problem, which ultimately has to deal with what do we desire. Do we desire to be that close to the point that we're going to bring vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel? We can get as close as we want. We just have to bring all the containers. So the question before the house this morning is, do you really desire to want to be that close? I hope so. It's been my experience in my own life and the observing the lives of so many. Every vessel that we bring, the oil will flow. We just don't need to limit it. Oh God, as we find ourselves inside of this season, what we pray, Lord, is that that we will bring every vessel, as fearful as that may be, so that we can take that big step, and then the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and every step that's after that. A.W. Tozer, in a prayer, said, "Lord, I want to want thee more." And that's our prayer, because that really does deal with our desire. God, I pray for those that might be worshiping with me from home right now, and maybe for them it's the first desire. Maybe there's been wrestling, there's been struggles, and for whatever reason, I want to want thee more. And so if that's for that first person, Lord, that the same way that the sun can break in through the clouds, we pray for that type of movement of your Holy Spirit, that someone would know of the depths of your love, at the same time they would know of the peace of Jesus Christ. And so the way that you're able to speak into the heart of the storm and calm the soul, we pray that, oh God. Then for those that, Lord, we've been at this for a while and we're still just holding things back. We want just enough so that it's not worrisome for us, but have never really been willing to bring every single vessel, every single container. Oh, would you give us the grace and the mercy for that at this moment? Would that be our life, our relationships, our future, our health, our fears? Lord, we could make a list. Thankfully, you are aware of each and every one of those. What we pray for, God, is the desire to want you more. And then strengthen us to devote the time and the energy that is needed so that step after step after step, we walk with a closeness to you. Oh God, guide us, direct us, we pray, and we pray this now in your name. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. We're delighted that you've worshiped with us through our online ministry. If you have any questions or comments or maybe something that you might want to share with us, there are people that are on our that man our chat rooms and are there to greet you or to be with you, to pass on any information that you think might be helpful for us as a congregation and how we walk and serve Christ together. Thank you for joining us again, and so I invite you to receive this benediction. Now may the peace of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.